Of course, I remember the first recognized sick patient with COVID-19 disease in Italy was on February 21st. Personally, in those early days, I still believed that it was a transitory situation.
We were completely, you know, overwhelmed by what was happening and the way you get surprised and shocked. What shall we do? And
now we are live.
You're listening to a Rock Project podcast from Eurocities.
I'm Cécile Huppert, and this is my colleague, Anthony Corpi.
How did the coronavirus crisis affect the culture sector and culture departments in cities? We spoke to two European cities to find out.
The city of Bologna and city of Lisbon, to one officer from the culture department, Francesco Volta.
I remember that in my office, I was informed that the Bologna Children Book Fair, basically one of the most important events of the city, had been cancelled for the coronavirus emergency.
And the councillor for culture, Catarina Vaspinto, from Lisbon.
So everything was cancelled, and our main concern was to keep our agreement, all the mainly the municipal theatres, all the performances, all the contracts.
These two cities are part of the ROC project, which is a project on cultural heritage for urban regeneration. And we wanted to know what kind of impact had the coronavirus crisis on their culture sector, on their cultural heritage sector, and how they were envisaging the future.
When COVID-19 hit and these cities were plummeted into chaos.
So nobody was kind of expecting what was happening. Nobody was really fully understanding it. All the events had to close suddenly. So it was really kind of a blast for culture and for heritage, which is something that is alive, that is something that you need to live through.
The economic impact was immediate and very tough.
From an economic point of view, the closure of services and the suspension of activities generated a significant drop in revenues, so with a strong consequent shortfall in the municipal budget.
Catarina Vaspinto.
We were a city that lived a lot on tourism. Tourism was our major driving force for development. And in recent, for instance, our budget decreased a lot because we one of the all main sources of revenue was the ticket office from Castel de São Jorge, and it completely stopped. So,
what do they do? How did they deal with it?
The cities were really worried about the culture workers that are kind of a specific type of worker, maybe sometimes without contracts or working for short-time contracts, these kind of things.
About actors and singers, artists.
Yes, but also the technicians, the people in the backstage that also, we don't see them when we are going to a show, but they are there to make sure everything is running fine. And suddenly they were without a job. So the technicians, the worker, they're not necessarily protected. And so the city had to find a way to make sure these people would also survive the crisis.
We are really, really afraid about the situation. We try to be strong, to be positive and everything. I mean, we have to be positive, but we are really, really afraid because the workers in the culture and entertainment sector in the long term will probably suffer more than the others. All technicians, all the workers that are not protected because they don't have a long contract. And so for these workers, we need to have a new kind of law to defend them. And I think that in this case, the crisis could be an opportunity because we will discover also some new tools to defend this kind of workers.
We mostly think when you think culture, you think, okay, it was about the theaters and it was about the actors. But there is it's very a wide sector.
So they're already getting things together. The crisis is moving forward and they're picking up the pieces and trying to figure out how to make it work. But what's the role of culture in a pandemic like this?
Well, from both officers and from both cities, but also from other people that we talked with, after the crisis, they were really mentioning culture as something good for your mental health as well, so like a solace.
People are very lonely, mainly the elderly people that have to stay at home, and how do we can we reach them and bring them any comfort? It was there before the crisis. One of the problems of our contemporary societies is this thing that you have the sense of are being connected because of technology, but on the other hand, everybody feels very lonely. And this thing you have to... The crisis made people much more aware of this problem, and I think there is a need for people to get together as soon as they can. And so this relation between the digital and the virtual and the real, it's really something that we have to work very intensively as soon as we can do it.
The most impressive things was the answer of the citizens in their own house, their own balcony, singing, try to find new solidarity among them, sharing recipe for cooking. And I think that even in this case, Bologna showed the aim and the quality of the city. For example, it was an impressive day, the 25 of April, which is the day of the freedom, la festa della liberazione, the party for the freedom from the fascism. And in that day, basically, I think that I heard to sing Bella Ciao more than all my life.
But we had a very interesting project that I like very much to talk about. It was Reading at Your Ears. Readings at Your Ears, and this was an analogical project because it was people, the team from the Casa Flamsoa, called people by phone, okay? So mainly elderly people or people who don't use technology. There are some people that don't have this literacy, and they called people at home and read them on the phone some poetry or some short stories and things like that, and it's still going on, and it came bigger and bigger, and people really appreciated it because it was something very intimate and really reached a group of people that were very alone at home and
being cut off suddenly from theater, from galleries, from any kind of events. And we had a lot of big things coming up around where I live as well, and just none of it happened, but it was a huge solace to be able to see live streaming and actors live streaming, and just to kind of feel connected to other people who are going through the same thing, but express themselves.
Of course, it's not the same as actually connecting in an actual concert hall, but it's true. And I was also very impressed by the number of things that were accessible online. I remember I watched a recording from the New York Opera, the Metropolitan Opera. And this types of thing, you know, you would never be able to go maybe to this opera, but suddenly it was accessible and you could just watch it and be part of this. So it was very intense as well. The number of things that were out that have no time to do all this culture that is suddenly available. But it was really nice.
What happened, and then I think all over, in all of the places, is people moved and migrated into digital. Everybody, the performing arts, visual arts, heritage, or for instance, the Museum of Lisboa produced a lot of content on the internet, and it was very recognized. And in the beginning, things were very kind of amateur, okay? People just put a camera and filmed and sent it. And now more and more things are becoming much more professional from the technical point of view, because what I think it's very important to improve this technical aspect of the digital content. And also, it has to be done now that are appearing some points of theater specifically made for digital diffusion. So the way they film, the way they cut, they create all the pieces, it's completely different that there is something make on the stage and then film, and then you distribute it to internet.
In Bologna, the city worked hard to facilitate this online shift.
Well, as a city, As a response to the closure, the municipality, together with many cultural organizations, has developed during the crisis a vast program of cultural contents, such as online exhibition, historical documentaries, restored movies of the Cineteca, which were available online, all online on the site of the Bologna City Council, what we call Agenda Cultura. And also, always online, in addition, the Department of Culture has launched a new social TV streaming program called Il Volo del Colibrì. The translation is The Fly of the Hummingbird. We quote from a famous fairy tale about solidarity. And in this program, we wanted to give voice to the cultural landscape of Bologna and also to sport operators, as well as ordinary people, to share their own experience of the lockdown.
Francesco reminded us that at the time of the coronavirus crisis, different deputy mayors for culture of major Italian cities, they went together to Rome and kind of advocate the importance of culture and the need to make sure the culture sector was taken into account into recovery funds and measures. And they kind of there was kind of a coalition of deputy mayors going to the Ministry of Culture and saying, yeah, you need to pay attention also to the culture sector and make sure that the people are not forgotten. At national level, it was an interesting thing.
And when you say they went together, I hope they were all social distancing.
I hope so.
So really getting it from, okay, you have payment coming in, even if it can't go ahead. You have venues for free. You have tax support. So pretty comprehensive and political lobbying.
But of course it was, I guess it was also like short-term measures or emergency measures. They were not really designed for a long time, probably, and it's also not sustainable for the city.
What was the feeling then among them, that things are going to recover or that this is really a lasting blow for the sector?
I think they were pretty positive. They were kind of hopeful that it would bring some new developments or a new role for culture and the cultural heritage in cities, that maybe these new ways of working, these new ways of accessing culture would stay as well, so all the digital aspect of it, but not as a replacement for culture, but reach out to more people. But we also talked a lot about the impact on tourism. Because, for instance, in Bologna, a lot of culture is actually financed thanks to the tourism tax. So they were also talking a lot about the model, the financing model or the business model that they have for the culture sector and that might be revised because of the tourism is not apparently a sustainable way of financing your culture sector.
Tourism was our major driving force for development. And for instance, our budget decreased a lot because one of our main sources of revenue was the ticket office from Castel de São Jorge, and it completely stopped. We are seeing some tourists, but nothing compared with what it was before.
In this moment, we are concentrated on a local tourism. We are trying to help the citizens to discover even the nature all around Bologna. I think that the citizens are allowed now to discover some hidden treasure of the city and of the countryside. Because, for example, even for me, this year, I will rent a small house in the mountain around Bologna. It's something that I have never done before. I don't know why, because I was not thinking about those places. And actually, I have to say that they are very, very beautiful. Very, very beautiful.
I think a lot of people are discovering that all over Europe and probably the world. This is one of the positive things that's come out of the pandemic is people are really getting to know their own countries and visiting museums and local sites that they maybe would never have gone to unless they had...
Kind of rediscovering your own garden or something.
I guess another thing that COVID's made us all super aware of is how fragile this earth that we live on is and how quickly things can all spill out of balance. I think these cities are also trying to tie in their cultural moves with environmental sustainability. Is that right?
Yeah, the sustainable cities, the resilient cities were already something that was in the discourse, but it took really more, it was kind of emphasized by the crisis that we really need to change the way we live and the way we move around. Because also this crisis is not out of nowhere. It's also because of biodiversity losses and environmental issues.
The city working a lot of creating more and more green spaces, moving from cars to bicycles. So all this strategy of turning the capital more and more green is going on. So having more pedestrian places in the city. So this is an ongoing project that will take some years.
I think that the crisis could represent also a great opportunity in terms of, for example, sustainable development. I give an example, following also an economic perspective in order to help restaurants and pubs. I remember that Bologna is the city of food. In order to find a new space in external areas, our mayor has already foreseen an expansion of the pedestrian zone in the historical center, as well as in the suburb.
I've personally really enjoyed seeing all the cafes and things now with their seating outside instead of inside and taking the streets back from cars.
I think that's nice. I asked the city councillor of Lisbon at the end about the role of cities as well, and if she thought that cities would have another role to play in the new society that is emerging or has emerged now. But she was positive about that.
Cities are much more getting more and more organized to talk about different specific matters, more specialized matters, and I think really may play a major role in tackling the major challenge that societies have to deal with in the future.
There's hope also.
Yeah. Because you are very close to people, so you also understand much better what are their needs, what are their feelings. And this kind of much more close relationship makes you much more aware of the deepness of the problems, of the need, of the real changes.
So cities will be more powerful than ever.
Yeah, some things will change for sure. But hopefully cities will take the lead in these changes. And I think they already do. Yeah, they were really kind of hopeful. I would say that was the main feeling, that after the shock, the surprise and the quick reactions that we had to do something, they were also kind of already stepping up a bit back and thinking about the future in a more positive way, that, okay, we need to find another way to balance our finances at city level. We need to find another way to use the resources we have, but it's not something impossible and that it will require some creativity. And on that side, I think the culture sector can be useful. But it's possible to shape the future in a different way and in a better way.